All right, well, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open them up with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke will be in chapter 6, and while you're turning there, I want to explain why we are hitting the pause button in the Gospel of Mark, and why we are taking a couple of months in a new series that, as you probably saw or as you were seeing in this room, that we're calling Foundation. We're going to have a study where we look at how the gospel saves us, the gospel shapes our lives, and the gospel sends us out. That's what we're going to take a couple of months to do and to study together. And the way I want to explain this direction is in this way. The way pastoral ministry works is like this. I may be the lead pastor in title of Alberta Baptist Church, but I am not the head of this church. I may be the lead pastor, but I'm not the head of the church. Jesus will always be the head of the church. And he is our chief shepherd. You could say it this way. Jesus is our lead pastor. He is the senior pastor. He's the head pastor. And the way it works should be like this, that as he shepherds me, I desire to shepherd you. I desire to serve Jesus in the way that I want to under-shepherd. I want to get under his shepherding to then walk alongside you and shepherd the body. As he shepherds me, I desire to shepherd you. I want you to know, and please hear me say this, that I am sorry. And I'm asking forgiveness for the way that I responded with some of my words 2 weeks ago. And I ask for your forgiveness in which the tone I spoke over you with. My convictions have not changed. Confronting the sin of racism and standing against racial injustice is something that I believe our chief shepherd leads us directly into and he cares about deeply. But the way that I handled it and the way that I used this particular stage, I believe lacked the patience and the grace of Jesus Christ. For that, I ask for your forgiveness. It has been in this time that the Lord has also been leading me very clearly. You know, it's been days that I might have woken up and said, the only prayer I had was, helper, help me. Counselor, counsel me. The one who is generous with wisdom, please give me your wisdom. Lead me in it. And he has. Not always at the speed that I wanted him to, but it certainly wasn't his fault. It may have taken me getting away for a few days. We had a wonderful trip with my family for 6 days, put the phone aside for almost a full week. It's amazing how the Lord can quiet our hearts and speak into our souls. It's been his leading that has led me to hit the pause button on Mark and launch us into this new series. During this series, what we want to do is we want to ask for a couple of months a couple of questions. And there are two questions that I believe are vital for all of us as individuals to ask. So to be asking, you know, each of us on an individual level, but also two questions that we need to ask as a collective body, as a local church, as ABC, and honestly, I believe would be really healthy for the capital C church to ask these two questions as well. These are two questions that we need to not just deal with and then walk away from and give a decade, you know, in between when we revisit them, there are two questions that we really need to consistently be asking ourselves. Here are the two questions. The first question is a question of foundation. So it makes sense, the title of the series, Foundation. It's a question of foundation, and it goes like this. Who or what are we standing on? Who or what are we building our lives upon? The question is, what is our foundation? Once again, this is a question to ask on an individual level and also as a collective body, as ABC. For the individual, we may be asking, you know, hey, what are we building our personal lives on, or our families upon, our house on? You know, what is shaping our rhythms of life? What is giving us hope for our days? And as a body, we can ask really big questions like, what are we building our structures or our systems or basing our values upon? This all goes back to the question of foundation. The second question is directly tied to it, and it is a question about discipleship. And it goes like this. Who or what are we following? What is our discipleship, individually and collectively? And these two questions are based upon two assumptions that I'm hoping we can agree on. And here are the two assumptions. The first is tied to that first question of foundation, and it's this, is that we are all building our lives upon something or someone. The second question, tied to discipleship, it's connected to an assumption that I believe we can agree on, that we are all being discipled by something or someone. The question is, what are we standing on? Or who are we standing on? And what are we following? Or who are we following? Those are the questions that we are going to answer, the questions that we're going to ask and the answers that we're going to be looking for over the next couple of months. The beauty here, or the wonderful starting point of this series, is that both of these questions have the same answer biblically. In fact, both of these questions, what are we standing on? Or what ought we be standing on, and who ought we be following, they're connected to the very same person, Jesus Christ. So here's what is so fun. The Sunday school answer is correct. Isn't that great? Like the Sunday school answer is right. Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. He is the one that we desire to follow. The question is, are we building upon him and are we following him? That's what we're going to explore the next couple of months. And there's so many wonderful passages for us to look at this week. The one I'm going to direct us to, and kind of the one that we are going to launch the series off of, is found in Luke chapter 6. It could be Luke 6 or Matthew 7. Both have a very similar text here. And so if you will, look with me at Luke chapter 6. I'm actually not there. I told you to turn there, and I didn't turn there. Luke chapter 6, we're going to be looking there at the end of that chapter, verse 46 through 49. Here's the word of the Lord. This is Jesus speaking, and he's been teaching about discipleship. He's teaching about what it looks like to follow him. He's talking about the values of his kingdom and what it looks like to follow him in his kingdom way. He gets here to verse 46 and he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. And all of you know the picture, I believe, at least most of us. You already know what the picture is here. He says he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and it could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, what I want you to see here, and there's so much that we could say about those few verses, but we want to at least say this morning, connected to our series, is that the one that we stand on, we follow. Okay? Now, I want you to see this here in the text. The one that we build the house on, the one that we build our lives upon, we follow. In this text, you can even reverse the order. The one that we follow, we build upon. Do you see it in the text? Foundation and discipleship are directly connected together in Christ. Our discipleship and our foundation go hand in hand because they are both found in the same person, Jesus Christ, found in his finished work, his kingdom, his way, and his mission. This is why when the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, when he's talking about building, he makes sure to begin by teaching the church that our foundation is, the foundation is, Jesus Christ. It's why in 1 Peter, Peter writes about the building of the church upon the cornerstone, the foundation, Jesus Christ. When we talk about building our lives, when we talk about our foundation, it's being built upon Christ Jesus and his gospel, his good news, his finished work, his kingdom that's come and his kingdom that's coming. When we talk about discipleship, we're talking about follow him in his way of love, in his values of his kingdom, following him. Our discipleship and our foundation, they go hand in hand because they're found in the very same person, Jesus Christ. Now, connected to Luke 6, I do want to ask you a question, or I won't even ask a question. In fact, I'll just go in with some sarcasm here, okay? So I'm telling you there's a little sarcasm. I don't know if you realize this, but we are experiencing in the year 2020 a bit of a flood. In the year 2020, we're experiencing something you might call some heavy waves and wind. We might even refer to it as a storm. The storms, the floods, the winds of pandemic. Now, I'm just going to ask, who thought we were going to be in this year, okay? I mean, we could have seen it coming, I guess. But I mean, like, you go back a year from, you know, a year ago. Did you see this? No. I remember in January, Kyle was preaching. He was talking about, you know, in 2020, the year that we thought we'd have flying cars. And we didn't even have toilet paper. Okay, like my goodness. The winds of pandemic. It's brought a storm. Seriously, it's brought a storm. It really has. And the winds are blowing hard. Will we stand? Who are we following? The storms, the floods, the winds of a historical civil rights movement happening right now, taking place in our country right now. An economic downfall right now. Businesses crashing, restaurants that we love closing, fear building up all around us and from deep within us. Social and mental health at heartbreaking levels. Political divisions that seem impossible to come together for a common good. I got two words for you. Murder hornets. Like when I saw that, I was like, okay, like what are we doing? I mean, what in the world is going on? And on top of that, we have personal and local suffering. We have heartbreak in our own lives, our personal lives, and just the normal struggles of everyday life. My question is this: where is the church? Where is the church? What are we standing on and who are we following? Where are we? Where is the church? Where is the city on the hill? Where is the light of the world? Where is the salt of the earth? Why are we not on our face praying, Lord, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Why are we not doing this? Why are we not wrestling with and fleshing out what it looks like to stand upon Jesus and follow him into this broken, hurting, confused, and weary world? Do we understand the power that he has in his gospel, in what we stand on, in as we follow him to bring healing, restoration, and redemption to this world, to bring peace and to deliver hope and to proclaim freedom and rest for the weary body and soul and showcase to the globe the only true and sure foundation to stand upon and follow? That's what we have in Christ. That's what we have in Christ. The reason why I believe it's so hard for us to come together in this is because I believe it is easier than we think to build our lives on the wrong foundation. At the very least, it is very easy. It's easier than we think to stand on a foundation that has more cracks than we want to take a look at. And I will be clear to you, there is no crack. There is no breaking. There is nothing wrong with the foundation of Jesus. It is where we have lacked to follow him in discipleship. I believe it's easier than we think to be discipled by the wrong person or thing. Can we just admit together? I mean, listen, if we can't admit this, we are in trouble. We got to be able to admit together how easy it is to be discipled by something other than Jesus, his way, his values. Like, it's very easy to be discipled by the news. It is very easy to be discipled by Facebook and Facebook posts. What this person said, what that person thinks. This article I read, that article I read. This book, this tradition, that tradition. And you know me, if you know me at all, you know I am for reading. I am for studying and reading this Bible all day, meditating on it, loving it, learning it, living it out. I am also very much for you reading books. I'm for a learning environment. I also can say it's easy, and it's way easier than we think, to be discipled by someone other than Jesus. It's easier than we think to build our lives and our rhythms and our hopes on a foundation other than Jesus, even when we think we are. That's why we're going to go to the study. That's why we're hitting the pause button in Mark. That's why we're going to come together as a church body to take a couple of months and look at our foundation. Look at the gospel of Jesus in depth and to examine not only our foundation, but to consider our own discipleship. That's what we're going to do. So how are we going to check our foundation and examine our discipleship? Well, The first thing is we're basing our foundation. When we say foundation, we're going to be loud and clear. Yes, the foundation is Jesus Christ. We're also going to use the language, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus, okay? Do we have the slide available there with the faith map? There you go. Man, isn't that great? That looks good. Thank you. Noah did a phenomenal job at that. What I want you to see, and real quick, just a nod from my people in the back. Are people at home, can they see this? They can see it. Okay, good. All right, so everybody at home, everybody here, we see it. I want you to look with me there. We have in the center the gospel. That's our foundation. This foundation, the gospel of Jesus, as we stand on the foundation of Jesus, as we follow him in biblical discipleship, and we're going to see what that looks like over the next couple months, we will see that the gospel, the same gospel, the same Jesus Christ, he saves us, he shapes us, and he sends us out. The same gospel. And what I've noticed as a pastor is this, is I don't have a hard time getting people to understand or amen that the gospel saves us. I think as a general rule, we feel like we're standing on that truth, that the gospel of Jesus saves us, that we're forgiven, that we're united in him, that we're reconciled to God, that we're righteous and we're justified, that we're going to be glorified, all those things. We understand he saves us. But what I notice is a disconnect between our salvation and our discipleship, our salvation, and our Christian growth, our being formed by this gospel, being shaped by this gospel. There's many people that I speak with, and I feel like the overall consensus is I struggle in my prayer life. I struggle growing in the Word. I struggle growing in my life. I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. I feel stuck. That's a pretty normal conversation I have in regards to being sent. I feel like it's pretty normal for people to be very confused about what it looks like in their life to live missionally, we might say. To live on mission. That's the phrase that so many use. We seem very confused about what it looks like to actually live a life on mission with Christ. I need you to understand, as we study this book, as we walk through the scriptures, as we walk through this study on foundation, the foundation that we stand on, Jesus Christ and his gospel, is also the same one that we follow. We follow Jesus Christ. As we follow him, not only, yes, are we saved, but we will be shaped and we will be sent. The direction that we're going to go here, and we're going to take our time. Now, there's going to be four parts, I guess, if you will, to it. And the four parts go like this. Part one is going to be, we're going to look at the gospel story. We're going to look at the gospel story. And this may be 2 weeks, it may be 3 weeks, but we're going to look at the story of the gospel. And so what that means for you is this. We are going to get a 30,000 square foot view. I always say square foot view. It's not a square foot. That doesn't make any sense at all. Please discredit that. Okay, that was pitiful. A 30,000 foot view, and we're going to look over at the narrative of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and we're going to see the gospel story that finds its pinnacle, finds its hero, finds its person in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to study this story, the gospel story. And what we'll see is this. That God has always been on mission. He's always been on mission. And what we've got to do is start real big and then allow it to get real narrow until we see what it looks like to join him in his work of redemption through Jesus Christ. This series is going to help us do that. Who are we standing on and who are we following? Biblically, the answer must be Christ. The gospel story is going to help us understand what this looks like. But we're going to go to part two, and we'll see the gospel message. And here we'll focus more on the articulated message, the gospel that is spoken, the words that are spoken with power. The gospel message of Christ Jesus' finished work for us on the cross. Who he is, what he's done, who we are in him, what he's still to do. We're going to focus there on the message. Moving to part three, which will look at the gospel community. We're going to take some time to consider the church. The church, a people that are shaped and sent out in Christ. And lastly, part four will be the gospel mission / gospel ministry. And we'll take time to really get super narrow and we'll begin to ask the difficult questions of life as far as how the gospel that we've been studying, how is the gospel of Jesus, how is he saving us? Yes, shaping us and sending us out. And I believe that in this, that we will together be able to take we'll be able to dig deep down together. Take an intentional and honest look at our foundation. Take an honest look at our discipleship. And as we examine the scriptures, the finished work of Christ, his kingdom both come and coming, we will also examine our lives, our actions, our rhythms, and our structures. My pastoral heart is that we will together also be willing to learn. And I'm going to use this word because it's important, that we're also willing to unlearn. That word has been taken wrongly from time to time. I want you to understand it's so important for us. It is very possible we have to unlearn something we thought that we might embrace something that's true. That we would be willing to learn, unlearn, and the word, if for me to pastor you well, you got to understand my heart here, and repent. When we say repent, this is the best word. It's the sweetest word. The word repentance is just referring to us changing our will, changing our thinking, changing our mind. It is so possible for us, if we're on or we're standing on at least parts of the wrong foundation, we've got to have a repentant heart. We've got to change our mind, our will, our values, whatever it is, to stand on Christ. Our discipleship, if we're following the wrong things or the wrong people and we're not following Jesus, repentance is necessary here. For us to have a change of the mind that we follow Christ. We do it intentionally together. My pastoral heart is, yes, we take an honest look, that we'd be willing to learn, unlearn, and repent, that we would unite together in Christ, that together we would see that we stand on and follow Christ hand in hand, that we would spur each other on, that we would bring each other along, and that we would build each other up. That is my heart in this series and in this season. That the gospel that has saved us will shape our lives and our church and send us out to love as we have been loved by Christ. So, in my personal life right now, I have a little thing that I'm wanting to do. Okay, it's not just a little thing I'm wanting to do. It's really more than that. It's really kind of a person that I'm wanting to become, and that's a runner. I'm wanting to be a runner. And so I've been working hard at it. I've been training at it, and I have a goal. I want to run. I don't want to just run a marathon. I want to be able to run marathons. Okay, so it's a little bit different. But I have this goal. It's a pretty big goal for me right now. And so I've been working on this since March. And what I've learned at this point is this. Is there is a race that I want to run that I cannot sprint through. Now, I recently saw a video of a man. I don't remember where he was from, but this man ran a marathon in 1 hour and 59 minutes. Okay, now, I am not good enough at math. I should be able to do this to figure out what that is per mile, but it is 4 minutes and something per mile. That means he sprinted the entire time. I want you to imagine right now that I said, hey, church, it's time for us to run a marathon together, and we're going to sprint the whole thing. We would start running, and you know what would happen? First of all, we wouldn't make it there. Second of all, guess what would happen to our bodies? They would feel real broken, and the members of our body would get real messed up. We'd have knees, bones, joints. We'd have stuff probably break. We'd be in a whole lot of trouble. And I want you to understand, in this race that we are called to in the Christian life, the race that we are standing on Christ and that we're running with Christ, behind him, with him, in him, it is much more of a marathon than it is a sprint. And if we try to go straight to sprinting this marathon, members will be hurt. I've already experienced that. What I want to do in this series is for us, when we say hit the pause button, it doesn't mean that we're not going to be moving. We're just going to start at more of a couch to 5K pace. And we're going to do it together. And we're asking God to unify us together for the work of Christ's kingdom. I have a prayer that I want us to end our time with, at least from the preaching, a prayer that I want us to pray that comes from John 17. I'm going to read first the text, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. This is Jesus praying over us, his church. Verse 20, he says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe, that's us who are now believing, in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I want to pray an expectant prayer, a prayer from Jesus over us, that we would be unified, but unified in a particular way. That we would be unified in such a way that it would be unity in who we stand on and who we follow. That would have us walking together in such a way that the world would know that Christ was sent into this world. That's a prayer that comes from Christ, prayed over us then and prayed over us today. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray over us, and then we're going to respond together. And I believe it's a very appropriate question to begin to ask the Lord the question, Lord, help me examine my foundation. Am I standing on Christ? Am I standing on the gospel of Jesus to not only save me, but to shape my life and to send me out? Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me see who I'm following. If I'm following Christ in his way of love, with his kingdom values, am I following him in the places he goes? Am I willing to join him where he shows me he's already working? And pray, God, unify your church. Connect together your people. Let's pray together. Father, it is a very easy prayer to read and to speak. It's easy to see where it comes from. It's easy to understand the heart behind it. The words of Jesus, the prayer of Jesus, that we, the church, would be one as you, Father, and your Son, Jesus, are one, that the world might know that you sent your Son into the world. But it is an altogether different experience for us to actually try to live and flesh this out. Lord, it is in this, it is in our desire to unify, knowing that is your very heart, that we ask for your grace and we ask for your power. Holy Spirit, we ask for your work in our lives, that you would do something miraculous, that you would unify a people, one people in Christ, standing on Christ as our peace and as our cornerstone. One people, Lord, that you would unite together in your Son. I pray, Lord, that you do that for and in ABC. I pray you do that in the capital C church in our city. We pray for the churches in Tuscaloosa today. We pray for the churches in our country, for the church to miraculously unify together in such a way that the world would see that Christ was sent into this world. Lord, we go to you for this. Only you. Only you. We desire to submit to this desire. God, help us to submit to you and to love you and to follow you, and to love and to serve our brothers and sisters. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace, for your presence with us today. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.